Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 162 of Paranormal Stories. This week I'm reading from Dave Mackey's book, Spirit Test, From Childhood Hauntings to Present Day Miracles. One Average Man Puts Spirituality and the Paranormal to the Test, literally. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. So I'm going to start by reading from a section titled, The Lady at My Door, and this is what Dave has written. February 1976. I was tucked in bed with visions of sugar plum eating vampires dancing in my head. I was 11 years old and I went to bed each night with my door propped open and my closet light on. I would also drag my poor dog Moses to bed with me to protect against the ghostly netherworld. I figured that if I were unlucky enough to be set upon by a devious spectre from hell, my trusty hound would come to my rescue and rip out its invisible throat. I realised that the odds of my dog actually saving me from a paranormal attack were not in my favour, but I wasn't about to chance it. In an 11-year-old's imagination, anything and everything is possible. On this particular night, I likely went to bed around 9, while my mother was watching Macmillan and Wife, or MacLeod. My dad wasn't home. He was a travelling paintbrush salesman and was out of town on business every week, from Tuesday through Friday. Not to build up any gratuitous suspense, but it truly was the dead of night when I awoke to find a figure that I thought was my mother standing and watching me from the doorway. As I recall, her hands were clasped at her waist and her posture suggested that she was relaxed. But there was also something not quite right about what I was seeing. I blinked my eyes into focus and in a sleepy-headed voice I asked, "What's up, Mum?" She lingered a moment, didn't answer, then turned from my doorway toward her own bedroom across the hall. Again, my brain hinted that something was afoul here. I wasn't afraid or anything. After all, it was only my mum checking up on me. I popped out of bed to see what was up. It was probably 2 seconds after she turned to leave my doorway before I would surely run into her in the hallway. As you may have guessed, there was nobody in the hallway. Just a boatload of dead-of-night darkness. I rushed to my parents' room, flipping on the bedroom light, and there was my mum sound asleep. That is, until I leaped into her bed and bounced her into a sudden state of consciousness. "Mum, were you just standing at my door?" Now you'd think that she'd be annoyed by being bounced awake. I know I'd certainly be. My house had better be on fire, or you'd better have conclusive, empirical data with videotape documentation that there were scary monsters attacking our family before you had permission to disturb my sleep. Sleep is sacred in the Mackey household. But Mum wasn't upset at all. She understood that the fastest way for her to get back to sleep was to cooperate. Acknowledging someone's feelings and fears is still the quickest way to resolve any problem. And truthfully, I knew the answer before I even asked it. Of course she hadn't been standing in my doorway. She had been in a deep slumber, likely dreaming about her paintbrush-selling salesman, Rock Hudson. I'm pretty sure I crawled in next to her for the remainder of the night. "I was 11, leave me alone." Even now, I'm really not certain what I saw in my doorway. Time and our minds have a way of rationalising the unknown. I still have questions about it, though. If it were a ghost, then why did it look like my mother, who was very much alive and snoring? I guess it could have been my grandmother, who had passed away a couple of years earlier. She, Helen Mackey, was slender, as was the person at my door. Or it simply might have been a hallucination, my mind playing tricks on itself. I was definitely awake when I saw her, it. But I had also just come out of a relatively deep sleep. Plus, you could say that my mind was already predisposed to such phenomena. One thing I'm sure of is that, at the time, I was 100% convinced that it was a ghost. I know what I saw, and I knew that the grown-ups wouldn't believe me. They never believed me. After all, I was there and I saw it, and they were asleep or, like my dad, in another state altogether. No, I was on my own yet again to try figure out what was happening at number 5 Indiana Drive. Addendum 2018. In 2018, the house at 5 Indiana Drive had been sitting vacant for 2 years. My mum passed away in 2016, leaving the property to me, my sister, and my brother. As we thought about what to do with the property, fix it up and rent it, fix it up and sell it, or just sell it as is, we decided to rent it to my sister's oldest daughter, Ali, and her boyfriend, Jack. One night, while Jack was sleeping, likely dreaming of playing golf and scoring 62 under par, he awoke to a presence standing in the doorway. As his eyes came to focus, his mind had put 2 and 7 together, and he thought to himself, "Ah, there's a ghost standing in my doorway." It was the very same doorway where, 30-plus years earlier, I had seen the woman I thought was my mother. Jack, not being Dave Mackey, did not scream and run from the room terrified. Instead, he rolled over and tried to pick up where he had left off at Pebble Beach. The next section is titled, A Chance of a Ghost, February 1978. During the great blizzard of 1978, my father was on the road and forced to abstain from selling paintbrushes to seek shelter from what would be a storm of historic proportions. Many folks abandoned their vehicles due to hurricane-force winds, whiteout conditions, and 28 inches of snow. My dad was fortunate. He found refuge and a vacant room in an old motel in Albany, New York. I can't recall the specifics about the motel, only that it was the single-story type and in need of some paint and TLC. But what happened behind the chipped facade not only confirmed what I already suspected, but gave me some insight into how we, as a people, deal with the unknown. During his impromptu stay, my pop had a close encounter with the phenomenal, and his reaction to it was both eye-opening and humorous. It was, of course, the dead of night, when my weary father was startled awake by a mysterious presence in his room. His bed faced a large window that was backlit by a streetlight and falling snow. To the left of the window, wearing a glowing nightgown, stood a semi-translucent middle-aged woman. She stared at my dad for about a second, then began floating across the room by the foot of the bed. As she moved in front of the window, Dad could see the mottled images of blowing snow and light right through her. I know how I would have responded in such a situation, but John Mackey's brain, which had seen him safely through World War II, instructed him to take position, defend his territory, and eliminate the threat. With a mighty leap, my 53-year-old dad lunged at the glowing woman and launched his clenched fist at the head and torso of his uninvited guest. As one might expect, his fist passed right through her. The ghost, if that's what she was unfazed by the attack and continued her late-night walk until she thought fit to dissolve back into nothingness. Okay, the fact that my dad saw a ghost is not the crux of the biscuit here. People see ghosts every day. It's nothing new. The point is, my dad was confronted by something his mind told him was a ghost, a gossamer-clothed traveller from another dimension. His first instinct was to punch its lights out, not to find out if it could communicate and what it wanted, not to try and learn about it or the vast secrets it might have revealed regarding God, life after death, and how a universe that could create love could also create rap music. It's no wonder that more mysterious phenomena don't come forward. If they did, our first instinct would be to brain them with a garden weasel. I once read a Kurt Vonnegut piece that made reference to this same type of zealotry. In his story, the Earth is visited by a very friendly, highly evolved race of aliens. Unfortunately, these enlightened beings communicate their friendly intentions the only way their species knows how to, by farting and tap dancing. Of course, the villagers who witness this behaviour are appalled and decide to drive the disgusting creatures off with brutal, deadly force. If truth be told, I think my dad was quite brave, considering the circumstances. After his futile attempt to clout the spectral mist, John Mackey, with nothing else to do, went back to bed. In the very same room, blizzard or not, I would have been out of there. So today I was reading from Dave Mackey's book, Spirit Test, From childhood hauntings to present-day miracles, one average man puts spirituality and the paranormal to the test, literally. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support this podcast is to sign up to Patreon. On the Our Paranormal Afterlife Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the button on my homepage, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.